First, there was football. Then, there was fantasy football.
Now, there's fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch.
Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon with Goon and Tooch. Fantasy football goon.
Touchdown.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Fantasy Football Goon is a part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Mandel, the Goon, and this is your NFC West preview. Joining me, as always, is my co-host and good buddy, John Santucci, who I call Tooch. Tooch, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to talk some NFC West fantasy football.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff going on in this division, and let's just go alphabetically here. Well, actually, before we do that, I'll go ahead and run everyone quickly through the format one more time. We're going to quickly talk about blue-chip players, people that are going to be fantasy studs for you, good bets, players that are probably going to do pretty good for you, sleepers, some guys that are flying under the radar but have a lot of potential, and then we'll talk about rookies to watch, defensive outlook, and strength of schedule. So with that said, John, let's just lead off here with the Arizona Cardinals. And you can't talk about the Cardinals blue chip players without talking about David Johnson.
Oh yeah, they've got two good blue chip players who just seem to produce, you know, top of the fantasy charts. You know, David Johnson injured last year, Joe, was ruined a lot of fantasy players' seasons. But the year before, man, look at those numbers, huh, Joe?
Yeah, he had unbelievable numbers two seasons ago. 1,239 yards rushing, 16 scores on the ground, 80 catches, 879 receiving yards, and 4 receiving touchdowns. So you're talking about a triple threat guy who can do pretty much everything on the field. And he had 20 touchdowns 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. Over 2,000 yards, too. Says he's healthy, and this is going to be his best year, and this is going to be a great offense, so remains to be seen. I mean, they've made a lot of changes, Joe. But one thing that is the same is their star wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, the ageless wonder. Larry Fitz had a great season last year as well. 109 catches for 1,156 yards and 6 scores. So while the touchdown count was a tad low from where he usually is, that yardage and reception count was through the roof.
Yeah, 107 catches the year before, Joe. So yeah, if anything, he's consistent.
He's as consistent as it gets, and I mean, he's a valuable wide receiver no matter how you look at it, but if you have him in a PPR league, he's an absolute top five receiver.
Yeah, and you expect those numbers to go down a little bit as he not getting any younger? As he ages, I expect, there's no reason why he can't hit 100. Just think the odds are against it.
I think the odds are against it, but I'm always going to pencil Larry Fitz in for 100 catches. I think he's going to come close. I don't know if it's going to be a little under, but I think it'll be very close. I do think his touchdown count will probably go up. He only had 6 last year, and with the way they're going to be slinging the ball, I would not be surprised if that count went up. But between David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, both are going to be first-round picks. So these are guys you want on your team, no doubt about it.
And you know, I think Larry Fitzgerald's receptions will depend on the health of the next guy we're going to talk about, huh, Joe?
Yeah, I'd say so, too. And we're talking in the good bets section. The first guy we're talking about here is Sam Bradford. Guy cannot stay healthy. Last year with the Vikings, had a very great start to the season, and then he was out. So last year in limited action, I believe he played in maybe 3 games, John. I'm not 100% sure.
Injured after 2 games.
Okay.
Injured in the second game. Yeah, appeared in 2 games. 382 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. So he was looking good, Joe. It's just that knee. You know, but the year before, 3,877 yards, 20 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions with the Vikings in 2016. So the potential is there. You know, and he likes to he's very accurate on the short passes, which plays to Larry Fitzgerald's strength. You know, Fitzgerald does a lot of his work out of the slot.
Yeah, he does. And you know, Sam Bradford is a great value pick. You're going to be able to get him late, but the only thing you have to worry about with him is his health. So I would not waste anything earlier than a mid to late round pick on him, because you just can't depend on him.
Yeah, he's a second quarterback, I think, just because of injury risk, Joe. A late round pick for sure. And then the other good bet we have listed is field goal kicker Phil Dawson. I think, you know, not a bad year for Mr. Dawson. 32 field goals, 4 of 5 from 50 yards. That's 2 field goals a game, and you know, able to boot it from long distance. And this year, he may have a lot more chances if that offense struggles. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he will. So he's one of those guys towards the tail end of your draft. He's going to be a fantastic kicker. So keep him on your radar. Definitely going to watch him. And moving into the sleeper section here, John, I mean, there's a handful of guys that are sleepers on this squad. They've been sleepers for a long time, but I'm going to lead off here with Jermaine Gresham at tight end. Last year, 33 catches, only 322 yards receiving and 2 scores. They have a bit of a crowded tight end / wide receiver core, so you don't really know where the balls are going to go. But I do like Jermaine Gresham because he's got that height.
Yeah, he's splitting time with a guy who just kind of exploded in a few, you know, some limited action at the end of last season. I'm talking about Ricky Seals-Jones. A lot of people are really high on him. Only 12 catches, 201 yards, but 3 touchdowns, and that was in like 2 or 3 games, Joe. He's also really tall, and, you know, former wide receiver. There's some real potential there for this kid, Ricky Seals-Jones, especially in the red zone. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning Seals-Jones over Jermaine Gresham, but I mean, Jermaine Gresham is a steady veteran, so this is something that's going to have to play out over the course of the season, Joe.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I just put out my season rankings today, and you can go see those at fantasyfootballgoon.com under the rankings section. But I do have Ricky Seals-Jones ranked. I don't have Jermaine Gresham ranked. I have Seals-Jones ranked at 24 at tight end on the season, so I do think he's got more potential. So he's the one worth drafting here. In terms of Jermaine Gresham, he's a guy you leave on waivers unless you need him later on. But, John, why don't you talk about some of the rest of the sleepers here?
Right, I'm glad you asked. Now, and this is kind of why I think Ricky Seals-Jones might take the lead over Gresham. And that's because they're really, after Fitzgerald, there's not much. You know, Ricky Seals-Jones may be the number 2, or actually number 3 receiver if you're counting David Johnson. I expect David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald to be the, you know, the biggest mouths that are getting fed. But Ricky Seals-Jones is probably 3rd, although, you know, there's a lot of guys like J.J. Nelson last year, 29 catches, 508 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's listed as the number 2 wide receiver. And then Chad Williams, who's a second-year player. He had 3 receptions, only 31 yards, but, you know, a promising young player. And then, of course, Bryce Butler came over from the Cowboys, I think, last year with Dak Prescott. He had 15 catches, 317 yards, but found the end zone 3 times. So, of course, there's another rookie in that mix, and we'll talk about him in the next section. But, yeah, it's a mixed bag. This is another situation that's going to have to play out over the course of the season, Joe, as we figure out who's going to emerge out of that group of sleepers that we just talked about, of those 5 guys. And then the rookie that we're going to talk about who's a pretty promising rookie.
For sure. And when we're talking about rookies, we're talking about Josh Rosen got drafted, fell all the way to the Cardinals, who I did not expect at the time. Last year at UCLA, he was really good. 3,756 yards passing, 26 touchdowns and 10 interceptions, 97 yards rushing and 2 scores on the ground. So this is a guy that can get it done on his legs, too, if he has to.
Well, that's actually negative 97 yards, Joe.
He had negative 97 yards rushing?
He had negative 100 yards. Yeah, he was sacked a lot. And, yeah, he's not really mobile. Very good passer, though. You know, throws a pretty ball. But yeah, negative 97 yards rushing. Yeah, I had to look at that again. Yeah, he's, I think over his career at UCLA, he was, you know, negative yardage rushing. So, but Sam Bradford gets injured, though, Joe. You think Josh Rosen's the next man up, or is former Bear Mike Glennon coming in?
No, I think Rosen's the next man up, and I think there's even a shot that Rosen starts the year. depending if Sam Bradford is hurting going into the year. But I still think Bradford's the guy. But you're definitely going to have to draft Josh Rosen. He's got a lot of potential. And especially in keeper and dynasty leagues, he's a guy you want because he's got a lot of weapons. And if he gets tossed in there, while yes, he is going to make some rookie mistakes, he's going to be a great fit and he's going to be slinging the ball all over the place.
Yeah, it's a good dynasty pickup, you know. I mean, as he grows into that offense, maybe those good weapons emerge. You know, there's stuff for him to work with. But let's talk about that rookie wide receiver they drafted in the second round, Joe.
Yeah, they drafted out of Texas A&M, Christian Kirk. 71 catches last year for 919 yards, 10 scores, and 7 return touchdowns in his career. So he's a guy that's going to be valuable on special teams. And if you're in a league where return yardage and return touchdowns give you bonus points, he's a guy you gotta draft.
Yeah, definitely. The return touchdown potential. And Arizona's going to be a defense special teams to keep an eye on if Christian Kirk is going to be returning kicks there. You know, definitely have to return. I can definitely see him breaking a return or two for a touchdown.
Oh yeah, he's got the speed and while they have good special teams, much improved. Their defense is actually pretty good as well. They had 37 sacks and 15 interceptions last year. 2 scores on defense, so and as I mentioned, they improved their special teams, so they're taking steps forward. But John, there's one thing we got to talk about with this team is they have a tough schedule.
Yeah, they do. It's the 8th hardest overall. So yeah, this division really, you know, it's a hard division, Joe. There's lots of improved teams in there, and yeah, they're all the teams in there have a pretty tough schedule. You know, with the way the division has improved
for sure. And then and that's a great segue because I don't know if there's a team that improved more than the Los Angeles Rams, which bolstered their defense in the offseason, adding Aqib Talib and then Ndamukong Suh to go with Aaron Donald and the rest of that powerhouse defense. But they have the best player in fantasy football as of last year and the biggest blue chip player in the league and probably a first pick overall, and I'm talking about Todd Gurley. Last year, he was absolutely unbelievable. 1,305 yards on the ground, 13 touchdowns, and then 64 receptions as well, and 788 yards receiving with 6 receiving scores. So he was just under 20 touchdowns on the year, and he's a guy you got to get on your team if you can.
Yeah, really improved his receptions too last year. Didn't expect him to be that good out of the backfield, but he obviously worked at it. So yeah, he has a chance to be the number one overall player picked. I'm sure Le'Veon Bell will be up there in consideration as well. Antonio Brown as well. But yeah, a definite consideration at number one overall, Joe.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then this team's also full of a bunch of good bets. Jared Goff last year kind of emerged from what people thought he was a bust after his first season, but throwing Sean McVay as head coach, and look, this kid's got quite a bit of talent. Last year, 3,804 yards passing, 28 scores, 7 interceptions, and then one rushing touchdown for about 50 yards rushing. So Goff was very good last year, and he's got a lot better receiving core. They improved quite a bit, John.
Yeah, they sure did. So, yeah, Jared Goff should end up being, a starter on someone's squad for sure, especially in, 12-man, 14-man leagues. You know, you could do a lot worse. He did improve. He did get an improved receiving core, as they add the next guy we're going to talk about, Brandon Cooks, 65 catches, 1,082 yards, and 7 touchdowns with the Patriots. And he's going to add that element of speed that's missing now that Sammy Watkins went to Kansas City.
Yeah, for sure. And he's basically Sammy Watkins that can actually stay healthy. So that's going to be exciting to see how he's going to fit in this offense. And another guy that you and I were both really high on last year and a guy that kind of exploded onto the scene is Cooper Kupp. He was really good last year. We talked about him quite a bit as a sleeper, and he sure did well. 62 receptions, 869 yards receiving, and then 5 touchdowns. So for a guy that people weren't really expecting it from, Cooper Kupp was very good, and he could possibly build off that with all that talent around him.
Yeah, it was an amazing rookie season for the kid. I think those numbers go up, Joe, especially the touchdowns, as Jared Goff starts to understand that this kid is a great red zone target. And, of course, the Rams also benefited from a guy they picked up from Buffalo last year. I'm talking about Robert Woods, Joe.
Yeah, Robert Woods was very good. 56 receptions, 781 yards, and he had 5 touchdowns as well. So for a guy that came over from Buffalo that, you know, was really under the radar, a lot of people picked him up last year, and he helped people get into the playoffs. So Robert Woods was very good, and he's definitely a good bet. He's a guy you're going to want to take in the later rounds of your draft.
Yeah, didn't do anything at all in Buffalo, did he, Joe?
Not really.
Yeah, came over and was a star. Well, I'm saying, all takes, you know, coaching makes a difference, you know. Robert Woods, pretty good player, suffered in Buffalo, comes to Los Angeles Rams, gets a little better understanding, better offense, better players around him, and I think he's just going to build on that. So 3 good options for Jared Goff and a good running game, so you got to like everything. We're going to talk about his tight end options coming up in a second, so why don't you tell us about that other good bet, Joe?
Yeah, they have one of the best kickers in the league, definitely a top 5. Greg the Leg Zuerlein, 38 field goals last year, and he hit 6 of 7 from beyond 50. So this kid's got a leg, and he's a quality kicker, and if you get him, you're going to be doing really well. Definitely top 5.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out when to strike on the kickers, and we'll talk about that with Danny Shimon in our strategy show, Joe.
Yeah, it's coming up here in another week. So, what day are we doing that, John? Do you have that offhand? I can't remember.
That show will be recording Wednesday, August 15th.
Yeah, so coming up very soon, a week from tomorrow. So, yeah, tune back in for that. That's going to be exciting. And why don't you tell us about some of the sleepers on the Rams, John?
Well, like I said, we're going to talk about their tight ends here for a second. They have 2 of them, really. One of them is a guy I'm kind of high on. The other one is a kid who's not bad either. I'm going to talk about Tyler Higbee first. 25 catches, 295 yards, and 1 touchdown. But the guy I really like is Gerald Everett. And this guy is just a monster his fast, good route runner. Had 16 catches, 244 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So almost as many yards as Higbee and, you know, a lot less receptions. Watch out for Gerald Everett. I think he's kind of like the Rams' Evan Engram. Maybe a little bit stronger than Evan Engram. We'll see, though. This is definitely a kid I would keep an eye on, Joe. Name to remember, Gerald Everett.
Yeah, definitely one of those rookies to watch.
Yeah, he was a second-year player.
Oh, yeah, second-year player. I keep forgetting. But, and then did you talk a little bit about Josh Reynolds, too, John?
Not yet. He's the 4th wide receiver on this team. He's also a good receiver. He showed as a rookie 11 catches and limited action, 104 yards and 1 touchdown. This is a kid that, you know, if anything happens to the top 3 receivers that we talked about in the good bets section, Josh Reynolds is a name to look at. He's a pretty good receiver in college. So another guy to keep an eye on, you know, is a guy who is going to be looking to make a name for himself.
Yeah, for sure. And they also have a very, very good defense, John. They were unbelievable last year. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, they added Aqib Talib and then Ndamukong Suh. So this is going to be a very, very dangerous team. But the one problem with that is they have a very tough schedule. But this defense last year, 48 sacks, 18 interceptions, and then special teams touchdown. So they are a very good defense. I have them ranked number 3 on the season. So, yeah, definitely keep an eye on the Rams' defense. They're going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of the top defense, if not the top defense next year. I mean, Jacksonville and the Rams should be, you know, the Texans. Those, these are the top defenses to be looking at. But, yeah, you know, 48 sacks and 18 picks. I mean, they have a decent special teams, too, Joe, with 1 touchdown. They have strength of schedule, though, you know, as we said, 5th hardest schedule. So, it's a tough schedule, but this is a good team.
They are a good team, and they're going to be fun to watch. Another team that was really fun to watch at the end of last season was the San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo winning every game that he started, which was very exciting. Last year, though, in limited action, 1,560 yards passing, 7 touchdowns. He did have 5 interceptions, but 11 yards rushing and 1 score on the ground. So Jimmy Garoppolo's got more time in that offense now, and he's getting comfortable with everyone, and I really like what I'm seeing so far from Jimmy G.
Yeah, I'm listed as their blue chip player. I mean, it's hard to find a blue chip player. This is a team that's, you know, kind of under construction still, Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're an ascending team, though. They showed at the end of the season that they could win some games. Jimmy G looked good. You know, like you said, limited in action. They've added some pieces, which we have listed in our good bets section. One of the guys they added, a lot of people are high on. I'm kind of a wait and see on him, although I think you're going to have to strike when the iron's hot. So a guy I'm talking about is Jerick McKinnon, who came over from the Vikings, Joe.
Yeah, he was very good in filling in for injury last year. 570 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns, 51 catches, and 421 yards in the air for 2 receiving touchdowns. I'm one of those guys that's high on McKinnon, John. I did my yearly rankings for the season here, and I have him ranked at number 15 at running back. So I'm expecting big things out of him. I think he's going to be heavily involved, and I can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah, see, for me, this is I have this leaning toward, you know, a third down back who's finally getting a chance to be the man. You know, and this is Jerick McKinnon's not a big guy. You know, can he take the pounding? You know, we'll see. He does have Matt Breida still there backing up. We'll talk about him in a minute. But last year, he had part-time duty. How's he going to do when he's carrying the load? Is he capable of carrying the load? That's a question mark. But, you know, a lot of people think he can do it. Most importantly, Jerick McKinnon thinks he can do it. So
that's right.
This is a kid who's probably going to go in the 5th, 6th round. I'm guessing around there, maybe 4th round, Joe. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking he'll probably end up going in the 4th round because that run on running backs is going to happen, and then all of a sudden there's going to be, you know, 10 or 12 that go in really, really fast. So McKinnon's going to go probably in the 4th, and that's great value for what he's going to bring to this team as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, and, you know, they had some decent receiving options, too, on this 49ers squad, Joe.
Yeah, they really do, and here's a guy in Marquise Goodwin that was so good in the second half of the season last year. 56 catches, 962 yards, but the guy couldn't get in the end zone. He only had 2 scores. I think that's going to change. I think that yardage and those touchdown counts go up, and I think Marquise Goodwin is going to be a top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah, it really took off once Jimmy G got in there, Joe. So this is a good... You know, I wanted to put him in the sleeper section, but I don't think he's a sleeper anymore, Joe. I think this kid is, he's a starting wide receiver. He's got Jimmy G, who's shown that he can get him the ball, and Goodwin can make plays. So I expect those numbers to go up. I think he's going to hit 1,000 yards. That's pretty easy. I almost hit it last year. 56 catches, though, you know, he averaged almost 20 yards a catch. So, you know, he gets like 60, 70 catches, man. You're talking a big season if he can build on. I expect those touchdowns to go up. And opposite him is the ageless one, Pierre Garçon. Only played in 8 games, though, Joe.
Yeah, he's always an injury concern. You know, he always finds a way to get hurt. But when he is on the field, he's very, very dependable, and he's always getting the job done. In limited action last year, 8 games, 40 catches, 500 yards on the dot, and didn't have a single touchdown, but I think that's going to change. I think Pierre Garçon is going to be heavily involved in this offense, and I have no problem treating him as a number 3 wide receiver.
Yeah, he'll make a good third wide receiver as long as he stays healthy. I mean, we have to monitor his health in the preseason. You know, keep an eye and see what he's doing in that third preseason game for the Niners. And then here's another guy, Joe, a lot of people are high on, and part-time duty... As a tight end, he had 43 receptions, 515 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I'm talking about last year he was a rookie. I'm talking about George Kittle.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of George Kittle as well. I'm on that bandwagon too, John. In my rankings, I have him ranked at number 9 at tight end above above Kyle Rudolph. So I'm really expecting big things out of Kittle this year. I think he's going to be heavily involved. And for where you're going to be able to get him, I think he could very well be the tight end steal of this draft.
Yeah, a lot of potential there, Joe, as long as he can stay healthy. He was banged up last year. But 43 catches as a rookie, not bad. And that was in limited duty. So we'll see. They also have a really good field goal kicker, though, too, Joe. Talk about former Bear Robbie Gould.
Yeah, all
our field goal numbers, huh?
Yeah, all of our folks listening from Bears Barroom, good old ex-Bear Robbie Gould was fantastic last year. 39 field goals, and he hit everything 4 of 4 from beyond 50 yards. So he was a great acquisition for them, and I expect him to be very solid this year and, you know, take him in the last round because Robbie Gould is good as gold.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers, he was probably a top 10 kicker last year for sure. So, I mean, 39 field goals, that's over 2 field goals a game, and that's, you know, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy who's going to give you 2 field goals a game. You know, an offense that's going to, you know, get into position and let their kicker try at least 2 field goals every game. That's a great floor. You know, that's what you're shooting for when you're looking for a kicker.
Oh, no doubt about it. And you know, he's a good bet, but they have quite a few sleepers on this team too, John. Why don't you talk a little bit about Trent Taylor?
Yeah, it was a rookie last year too, Joe. 43 catches, 430 yards, and 2 touchdowns as a rookie. Now, him and George Kittle as rookies really produced last year for this 49ers team, and that's why I say this is an ascending team. You know, they're a young team, they're a growing team. And Trent Taylor, pretty good. He's more built like a slot receiver, you know, like, kind of like that Danny Amendola,
yeah,
Julian Edelman type player that the Patriots usually like. Yeah, this is a kid I kind of like to have. This is a sneaky pick, Joe. This is going to be one of my sneaky picks.
Yeah, definitely a sneaky pick. And the next guy is always a guy that we kind of have on our sleeper list, and he kind of goes up and down. And I'm talking about Matt Breida. This year he'll be backing up, obviously. But in the meantime, look at last year. 465 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, 21 receptions and 180 yards, and 1 score through the air. So if there's an injury to Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida is looking like a pretty good fantasy option, John.
Yeah, I don't think they used him enough last year, Joe, to show what he could really do. Yeah, Jerick McKinnon can't handle the load and gets banged up, misses a game or two. This is a guy they could plug in. So it's someone, you know, handcuff, Joe. I probably would. I don't know if he's draftable because I think this year's a deeper draft. We said that before in our season previews before. But someone to watch the waiver wire for, be the first one to put a claim in if Jerick McKinnon goes down.
Yeah, definitely. And then also, if you're in a league that has IR spots that you can use freely, he's a guy you can draft and kind of stash in that IR spot if you want to hold on to him. I know some leagues have different policies, but if your league lets you put anybody on IR, then that's a perfect place to stash him. So just something to think about.
Right. The last sleeper we have listed is Kyle Juszczyk. Only had 31 yards rushing, you know, in limited duty. I think he was injured for half the season, but 33 catches, though. This is a receiving fullback, Joe. A lot of people are really high on this kid, especially as a pass-catching back. Might be the third down back, too, Joe, or coming in on third downs for, passing for his hands. But someone to keep an eye on. Not sure he's draftable yet, but I think they picked him up from Baltimore for a reason, and I haven't had a chance to use him.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of him, so he's another guy to keep on your radar. And then we have one rookie to watch here, John, and we're talking about Dante Pettis. 63 receptions last year, 761 yards and 7 touchdowns. Also had 4 punt return touchdowns, so for leagues where you get that extra credit, that could be a very, very useful person to pick up here. And what do you think about Dante Pettis, John?
Well, 4 punt return touchdowns last year at Washington. You know, this is a guy I like coming out. He's a good route runner. Yeah, definitely someone to keep an eye on. If he's returning punts for the Niners, you know, they that's going to improve their special teams. So they also have an improving defense. So their defense and special teams is one to keep an eye on. You know, they could surprise.
Yeah, I think they could surprise. I mean, they surprised me last year, John, with 30 sacks and 10 interceptions and one defensive score. The only place that I really think they need to improve a lot more on that defense is at special teams. And, you know, I think Pettis helps a lot with that.
Yeah, for sure. And they have a fairly easy schedule, too. Joe, number 15, TARDIS overall, so middle of the pack. Average schedule. The Niners are a team that I think are going to improve this season over last season.
Yeah, I think so, too. And there's one more team here to talk about in this division, John, and they're a team that I don't think improved. I think they have actually gotten a little bit worse. I'm talking here about the Seattle Seahawks, but their biggest blue-chip player is obviously the quarterback and Russell Wilson. Last year, very impressive numbers, 3,983 yards passing, 34 passing touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and then 586 yards rushing, which, funny enough, led the entire team, and then three rushing touchdowns. So Russell Wilson is a one-man show.
Yep, leading passer, leading rusher. Well, you know, the fact that he was a leading rusher just showed you how bad their rushing game was. And they definitely, in the first round of the draft, they tried to change that. We'll talk about this rookie coming up, Joe. But at least they're trying to improve. We'll see, though. Russell Wilson's favorite guy to throw to is still there. Doug Baldwin, he's pretty reliable. Joe, what do you think, Doug Baldwin, first-round pick?
Well, it's something we got to monitor, John. Doug Baldwin, talent-wise, and the way he's being targeted, is definitely a first-round pick. Last year, 75 receptions, 991 yards, and 8 touchdowns. But he's dealing with a bit of a knee injury in the preseason, John. They don't expect him to play that much, and I'm interested to see how that carries into the season. So it's something to monitor, and for me, it's enough to bump him into the second round.
Yeah, I agree. Those lower body injuries are, you know, definitely trouble for the season. Could last and slow him down for a season. All accounts say he's supposed to be fine. I think he's a second round pick now, but we're going to be drafting him as a. Some people would draft him as their number one receiver, but I think this might be a season where he could slide into a number two wide receiver. But again, Russell Wilson doesn't really have much. Doug Baldwin is really his only wide receiver, Joe.
Yeah, he really is. And if he's injured, you know, they're in trouble. So keep an eye on that situation. Watch the preseason, and we'll keep you updated on Doug Baldwin as well. But moving into the good bets section here, John, and here's a guy we've been talking about for a long time, that he's ready to break out, he's ready to break out, he's ready to break out, and here we are with Tyler Lockett, and you and I both think this is finally the year that he's really going to break out. Last year, 45 receptions, 555 yards receiving, but only 2 touchdowns. This kid's an absolute speed demon, and if he doesn't break out this year, I don't know if he's ever going to.
Yeah, that's a great point, Joe, but still, I mean, the numbers surprised me. I don't remember him being that good last year, but, not terrible. He was splitting time with other guys, other wide receivers out there, and they had a terrible offensive line. So, you know, Russell Wilson obviously was running for his life because he had 586 yards rushing, led the team. But, Tyler Lockett, this is his chance. He's a starting wide receiver now opposite Doug Baldwin. Could be a big season, could be a bust season. So this is a boom or bust player, I think, Joe. They also, they lost Jimmy Graham, though, too, Joe. So, you know, more opportunity for Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin. What do you think of the guy that chose to replace Jimmy Graham?
It's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me, John. So Seahawks signed Ed Dixon away from the Carolina Panthers, who filled in last year when Greg Olsen got injured. But Dixon last year, only 30 catches, 437 yards, and only 1 touchdown. So, you know, Dixon's getting a little bit older, and he's not really a pass-catching tight end in my eyes. So I'm not exactly sure what to think of this, but he's going to get more action, and, you know, he's got potential here if Russell Wilson becomes a safety blanket for him. But I'm going to kind of wait and see on Ed Dixon. I think he's still draftable, but I don't want him as my number one.
Yeah, he's a number two tight end. However, you know, this isn't a... Ed Dixon's not a younger player. He's an older player. I think he's 30, 31 years old.
Yep.
So, you know, he's an experienced veteran. If he's crafty enough to get open, you could see instead of 30 receptions, maybe 50 receptions. Instead of one touchdown, maybe five touchdowns. We'll see. You know, the other there's another guy alongside of him, a young tight end. Maybe they're banking on it. They let Luke Wilson go as well. And you see, you know, they opened the door for Ed Dixon and their second year tight end. We'll talk about in a second.
Yeah, and then they also opened the door for Brandon Marshall coming over from the New York Giants. Only played five games last year. He was pretty terrible. And he was very injured. Only 18 receptions last year for 154 yards. Didn't score a single touchdown. But from all accounts, he seems healthy. And if he has Russell Wilson throwing him the ball, he's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, only played in five games with the Giants as he battled injuries. You know, he's an aging player. Not sure he can get much separation anymore, Joe. Still probably a red zone threat. We'll see. Could have a good season, could be another uneventful season, and he hangs it up after this season, but I don't know what to make of him yet. I'll have to wait and look in the preseason, see what he's doing. I don't know, someone's going to draft him as like a fifth or sixth wide receiver, Joe, on their squad, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that could be a great value pick. I mean, we really don't know, and I know you said watch him in the preseason, but I don't expect him to get a whole lot of play in the preseason. I think he's going to be saved for the regular season, so I think you might see him in maybe one series, two series, and that's probably it.
Yeah, it's a good point. This is a player that someone, you know, if you want it, want any, I don't know if he'll, I'm pretty sure he's going to go draft, I think he'll go undrafted. This is someone that, based on past performance, which is not an indicator of future performance by any means, but this is a guy whose past is going to get him drafted most likely as the very last wide receiver on their bench in hopes that Russell Wilson turns him into a red zone monster. It could happen. I don't know. Again, like Tyler Lockett, a boom or bust player, Joe.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there is a boatload of sleepers on this team, John. You know, it's, I don't even know where to start with these guys. Who do you like best out of the sleepers?
Well, it's a lot of possibilities. That's not great news for these guys. But, you know, a guy that intrigues me is Jerron Brown, who came over from the Cardinals. 31 catches, 477 yards, but four touchdowns. So, you know, he's a speedy wide receiver. You know, it could be a guy that maybe finds action as the third wide receiver. You know, with Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, and Jerron Brown, maybe those guys move around a bit. Sometimes they work in the slot. Sometimes they work outside. You know, it's something that, yeah, Jerron is, you know, if Doug Baldwin's in the slot all the time, Jerron Brown might be one of the guys that's on the outside more than you expect. So I think this guy's a sleeper to keep an eye on, Joe, especially if anything happens to Baldwin. You know, Jerron Brown will be their number two wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so too. I like Jerron Brown, especially if he gets an opportunity here. But let's talk a little bit about this crazy backfield, John. Between J.D. McKissic, Chris Carson, and Mike Davis, who do you like?
Yeah, C.J. Procise is in there too. I don't any of them really. I like the rookie. I think that's the guy who's going to be carrying the rock. We'll talk about him in a second. But anything happens to the rookie, I think the rookie's going to carry the load, spelled by Chris Carson. Not sure Mike Davis makes the squad. He could go. C.J. Procise, I'm not sure he makes the squad, but he's an ideal third down back, a really good wide receiver. Can't stay on the field because he can't stay healthy. So J.D. McKissic is a guy who, if he's healthy, he's going to take C.J. Procise away. But like, this backfield's a mess, man.
Yeah, I would avoid everyone except for the rookie we'll talk about in a little bit. But
right.
I wouldn't draft any of the other running backs. We'll talk about our rookie here in a few minutes, but they have a new kicker now, John, in Seattle, coming from the Oakland Raiders, Sebastian Janikowski, one of the most accurate field goal kickers in league history. 30 field goals in 2016. He was only 3 of 8 from 50-plus, but he was dealing with a hip injury, I believe. And from all accounts, he seems to be back into good health. And Sebastian Janikowski has always been a great kicker, so if he's healthy, you want him on your team.
Yeah, he's an older player, Joe.
A lot of kickers are.
Matt Bryant and Adam Vinatieri and Sebastian Janikowski, they're all right there. But, this is a friendly place for kickers, the Seattle Stadium. But, this is a guy, you can do a lot worse.
Yeah.
If anything, he's definitely streamable.
Yeah, he's definitely streamable, so keep an eye on him there. And then we also have another tight end sleeper, John, we want to talk about, and that's Nick Vinette.
Right, this is a guy, Ed Dixon doesn't do much, Nick Bennett or Vinette or whatever his name is a guy who Seattle seems to be high on. He's not flashy, he's not speedy by any means, but he just has a knack for getting open. We saw it at Ohio State when he was there, so... they run some two tight end sets. I still think Ed Dixon is the guy to own. I'm probably going to stay away from the tight ends on this team unless I'm streaming tight ends. Next guy is the guy we really want to talk about, Joe. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Rashad Penny?
Yeah, Rashad Penny, fantastic rookie running back out of San Diego State. Last year, 2,248 yards rushing, 23 touchdowns, 19 receptions for 135 yards through the air, and then two receiving touchdowns. So this kid had 25 total touchdowns last season in college, and he's just an absolute beast.
Yeah, this is the guy to own, I think, on the Seahawks, man. You definitely want to watch the preseason Seahawks just to see how he's doing. He's probably a guy that might not. They want to protect, and let these other guys... battle it out. Rashad Penny, I think, is the guy to own. After that, maybe, Chris Carson, maybe? I don't know, man. I definitely think they're going to be, pounding this rookie, man.
Yeah, I really think they are, too. And, their defense has kind of declined. They've lost a lot of guys, John. And, they're still good, but they had 39 sacks last year, 14 interceptions, and 3 scores. Their special teams are just good, they're kind of okay. But they have a very tough schedule this year, John, and that could be problematic for these guys.
Yeah, I think it's still a good defense. I think it's going to take a step back, they're good defense at home, Joe. We'll see, though, but yeah, it's a regressing defense, I think, but still a streamable defense. Someone's going to draft them, most likely. Maybe if they're not satisfied with him, you'll see him, out on the waiver wire, and you're going to pick it up and get a good game out of him. I think that's where the Seattle defense is going to go this season.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you 100%. So I would keep the expectations in check for this Seattle defense. But, John, we did it, man. We made it all the way through the NFC West. And, we just have one more division to do, John, and that's the AFC West coming up later this week.
Yeah, that's a good division as well. Lots of changes in that division. We'll talk about that. NFC West, it's a good division for fantasy. There's some good players to grab in there. And then, of course, we'll have our draft strategy and tips show next week with Danny Shimon. Looking forward to that. I got a lot of great questions for him. We'll talk about... where Danny thinks guys should go in the draft. We'll try and tap his knowledge for that. And then you and I may have a season preseason ending update and news show.
Yeah, lots going on. Drafts are coming up, and we're here to help. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at FFBGoon. We answer all questions all season long, especially with your drafts coming up. Send us your mock draft info. I know, shout out to our UK goon, Barelissimo. He's been sending us a lot of mock drafts, and we really love that. So if you're listening, everyone, send us your mock drafts and draft questions. We're here to help. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and then be sure to follow us as well on Instagram. And make sure you check out our friends over at Bears Barroom. They have some great articles, great, hilarious podcast, and most of all, there's some really good people over there. And John, thanks again for joining me, bud. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me at Santucci_John on Twitter, and read my articles at bearsbarroom.com. Lots of great content there. Lots of great podcasts. So definitely stick with Bears Barroom this season. You'll have a lot of fun along the way.
Yeah, you definitely will. Bears Barroom is a great time. And also make sure you guys, if you're planning a draft party, I know it's coming up really quick. We'll be hosting Fantasy Football Goon draft parties at Vintage Bar. That's in downtown Chicago. It's at 1449 West Taylor Street, Chicago, Illinois, kind of in the Little Italy neighborhood. And you can get a 3-hour draft package for $45 a person. We'll give you guys a draft board and stickers. And then you can get all you can drink domestic draft and all you can eat wings in that time frame. And then we'll toss in some Fantasy Football Goon swag. So book your draft party today at Vintage Lounge. Just make sure you call 312-526-3627, and that's extension 2. So call and book your draft party today. We'll be there. It's going to be a blast.
All right. Sounds great. We're also about less than two weeks away from our Bears Barroom Fantasy League draft.
Yeah, and that's going to be at Soldier Field. That's going to be a blast. We cannot wait for that. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. God bless America. God bless football, and let's kick some ass. See you later this week.